wave uncovers the newfangled way. But you need to the warn that the heathen your suntan was rapidly leaving. Your wise men don't know how it feels. Look as thick as a brick.
Yeah. Tall Tuesday. Yeah, man. Now, Dan, we did not confer as to which songs to play. What made you start with Thick as a Brick?
It was the first one that came up when I Googled Jethro Tull singles.
Okay. That's interesting. That's pretty interesting. You know, what's really funny about that is that they did, in fact, release Thick as a Brick as a single, but the album version is 26 minutes long. It's a concept album, Thick as a Brick. That, if I remember correctly, Lindsey Cochran is that was the album, like the Thick as a Brick was the album, the Tull album, where he was like, wow, you can do really long songs. But they cut it down to like 3.5 minutes. There's actually that what you just played is the single version that's on Jethro Tull's greatest hits of Thick as a Brick, which is a 26-minute song. And it's awesome. And it's one of my favorites. I was glad that you chose that. I'm glad that popped up first. I can't believe that popped up first and not like Aqualung. You know? That's just really surprising. Yeah, man, Tall Tuesday, yeah. Mike is hauling 10,000 pounds of Ian Anderson's salmon. I was going to say salami. Could you imagine if Ian Anderson made salami? I'd buy it. Ian Anderson's salami, shaped like a flute. I don't. That would not be a good salami. That's not good. So that's a Slim Jim. That's not really a salami. Maybe that's what he should do, is sell, meat sticks. Don't you think that's a good idea? I should consult Ian Anderson, don't you think? In addition to the salmon, he should do, like, big Slim Jim-like meat sticks.
I mean, he'd have to take your call after your success with the Friends franchise.
I mean, that goes without saying. You know the power that I wield in Hollywood. Yeah.
It's a way to diversify. That's, most people would just stick to entertainment, but you've gone into the culinary world.
I'm going into meat sticks. That's what I'm doing. Because, a meat stick, like a Slim Jim, that's shaped like a flute. You can actually, like, have him on the commercials eating it as though he were playing the flute, holding it sideways and eat it. Right?
It's a real shame Dumont sleeps.
That's all right. They've got the wing waiting. I know there's an entire wing of the museum waiting just for the Nick DiGilio show. I realize that. I realize that this is top-notch radio right here. Talking about Ian Anderson's meat sticks. This is the kind of stuff that gets awards. Right, Esmeralda?
3:11 a.m.
Yeah, I know.
So
Dan chose Thick as a Brick because it was the first one that... that popped up. And I got to say, I'm really surprised by that. You see, Aqualung would be the first one that I would think, one of the most memorable riffs in classic rock history. Down, 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 down. That's like you learn that song. First song you learn on guitar when you play guitar. What do you think?
Stairway to Heaven.
No. That's a difficult song, actually, Esmeralda. That's a very hard song. It's Smoke on the Water. That's the first one. And then, of course, you go to AC/DC after that. Anything by AC/DC. And Iron Man. That's another one. Iron Man by Sabbath. But the first song that when I played guitar first song I learned was Smoke on the Water. And then eventually you get to Aqualung too, because it's just bow, now, 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 now. So I wonder how the salmon. Maybe Mike can swing by here and drop off about a pound of the 10,000 of
is
the salmon.
Is it raw, I'm assuming?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine it is. I would imagine it's frozen. My guess is it's frozen.
Oh, I wouldn't mind some smoked salmon.
I wouldn't mind Ian Anderson's smoked salmon. Now, have you guys ever purchased celebrity products? That's what we're going to be talking about here.
Oh, of course.
And has anybody ever had Ian Anderson's salmon? I think that's a good question. I mean, if you're hauling 10,000 pounds of it from O'Hare, clearly somebody's eating it. So 312-981-7200, celebrity products. 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about the successes and the miserable failures, many of which are in the latter category. But celebrity products, 312-981-7200. Now, what about you, Esmeralda? What pops into your head with celebrity products? Does anything come into your mind?
Oh, well, of course, the almighty first celebrity to do this ever, I'm assuming. George Foreman, the George Foreman grill.
Yeah, I don't think he's the first, but he's certainly
the most
dominated. Successful and dominating. Yeah, and on this list I have George Foreman grill, introduced in 1994. Oh my God, 22 years ago to the George Foreman grill. It was the George Foreman lean, mean, fat-reducing grilling machine, and it quickly became a must-have kitchen item and remains so today. Its success springs from several factors. It's a great innovative product that, at the time it was launched, spoke to America's growth focus on health. Foreman, a former champion boxer, also had an extremely passionate promoter who was able to revitalize his image via the product. Now, do you guys ever get a George Foreman grill? You ever had one?
Are you kidding me? I was in college. My brother gave me mine because he got it from the bank for free.
wait a second. So he like opened an account, he got a George Foreman grill?
Yeah, and a waffle maker, and he gave me both. And I had that George Foreman. I still have the waffle maker, but the George Foreman I had for a very long time.
Yeah.
And then I decided to give it up because I didn't have the counter space.
Do you have to keep it on a counter? You can put it in a cabinet, can't you?
I know, but I'm really lazy, and I would just leave it kind of dirty. I wouldn't want to put that.
But it's so easy to clean, as George Foreman. It's so easy to clean.
I mean, if you clean it right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. We put foil over ours.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's smart.
This is fantastic.
But now they got the ones where you can take the plate off, and there's so many.
Yeah.
Innovations.
Now, Dan, you had one too, Dan?
I still do.
I do, too.
When I moved into my first apartment, my dad purchased the deluxe one where you can put on like 3 or 4 pieces of meat, as well as the rotisserie, the George Foreman rotisserie.
You have the George Foreman rotisserie?
You know, I think we tried it once. It didn't work. And then I just kind of got lost in the move. So I don't have it anymore.
Now, the George Foreman grill, because there are a lot of the hamburger grills out there, but the George Foreman one, first of all, it's got my name on it, as George Foreman would say. It's like his signature. And it knocks out the fat. That was the thing that I remember from the infomercial. It knocks out the fat. Because they had a little drain bucket. Well, it wasn't really a bucket, but it was like a thing where all the fat and the juices would run out. And collect in the drain bucket.
Right, and it's on a slant. So it all
right,
slides
the grill is on a slant, so all the stuff would slide out into the drain bucket. I think that's the actual trademark name, isn't it? The drain bucket? And then you take that, you dump it out, and it knocks out the fat!
Fantastic panini as well.
I've never made a panini in the George
Foreman.
Oh, yeah,
put a sandwich
in
there?
I bet it does, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it does.
You don't have to use butter or anything, and it gets nice and crispy.
And it does it knock out the fat?
Well, don't put butter on it, so. Because usually if you put, bread, if you make a sandwich, you want to toast it.
Yeah, you got to put butter on it.
Yeah, you got it, and then a pan. But this thing, you don't need it.
Just boom.
So good. Oh, I miss mine. I should get a new one.
Yeah, you should. They're still out there. That, I guess, would be maybe the most popular and successful of the celebrity products, because it's always the first one that comes to mind. When you think celebrity product, the George Foreman grill is the first one that comes to mind. I bet there are a lot of really young people that don't even remember George Foreman as a fighter and only remember him as a guy who sells a grill. Wouldn't you think that?
probably. And he has all those kids named George.
He's got 36 kids named George.
I was talking to the Mindset List guys off the air.
Yeah.
And one of the ones they pitched to me was if people, you know, young people knew that Disney was an actual person, that there was a Walt Disney, because all they've known is Disneyland and Disney the company, yeah, and things like that, that they might not know. And I said, maybe, or you could even ask, is like, do they know Disney as a real character or just an urban legend about the guy who got frozen?
Right.
You know?
His head was... No, that's Ted Williams.
Ted Williams was the bad one, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and all his kids are named George. And I think even his girls are named George or Georgette. Right?
Georgia, maybe.
Georgia, Georgette. And he's got 37 children, I think. Something along that.
He's got 12.
Oh, man. He's got 12 kids.
Actually, one's Georgetta. No, but he's got one named Frida.
What?
Natalia. Leola. I mean, you can only go so far with the George.
Yeah, but he's got all his sons are named George.
Yeah, all the guys are George. But that's because that's possible, because you can be George the first, second, third.
Yeah, but normally first, second, third, you're the son of the person, and
right,
he's your father.
Yeah, well, it's George Foreman. He can do what he wants.
Because my dad's name is Nick, and his dad's name was Nick, but I'm not a third, because we have different middle names. Or at least that's what I've been told. I'm not a junior. I'm not. But I believe that's because we have different middle names, or they just said, we're not going to call you a junior. But I would have been a third, because my grandfather's name was Nick. You know, if I remember correctly, I believe I was going to be Tony. That was, could you imagine me? Hey, Tony. Hey! Anthony. I would have been Anthony. Yo, Anthony. As if my name couldn't be more Italian. Anthony DiGilio. Hey, yo, whoa. All right. Well, all right, celebrity products. This comes about because of Patti LaBelle's pies. Now, have you, Esmeralda, have you had the Patti LaBelle sweet potato pie?
I have not.
You know, it's only available at the Walmart.
Oh, and they're closing the ones that are here.
They're closing. Yeah, they are.
So
get out there and get your Patti LaBelle pie. She also will have premium vanilla pound cake and caramel cake. Her sweet potato pie is now going to be a year-round. It was only during the holidays, but because it's so popular, it's going to be year-round. So Patti LaBelle is doing well with her celebrity products. So, all right. And if you haven't seen, I wish I could remember that guy's name, the guy who reviewed Patti LaBelle's sweet potato pie. The guy was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious. Because he goes, Patty! He screams, Patty! Like five times during it. He's this really big, really, really flamboyant African-American dude who is, you see him talk about Patti LaBelle. He opens up the sweet potato pie. He takes a bite of it.
Is it James Wright?
Yeah, that's it.
That's what it is, YouTube.
James Wright is the best. Patty! If you've not seen this, here, wait. Now he swears, Dan.
Thanks for the heads up.
Okay, yeah, he because when I filled in on Cochran's show, we played it back, and Maximus had to go in and put in a few beeps. But you can isolate the Patty, so if you can get that, that'd be great. And you should send, by the way, that Patty. You should send that to Craig. And have that, she should have that, Patty should have that on, Patty Vasquez should have that on her soundboard, man. Because it's fantastic. Patty! I don't think, you know what, I think if Craig ever wants to get her, when they're doing their show, if Craig ever wants to get her attention, he should, instead of saying Patty's name, he should just play that. Patty! All right, celebrity products, 312-981-7200. It knocks out the fat. It's a good product, though, seriously. I mean, we're all three of us are talking about how much we enjoy the George Foreman grill. It's a really quality product, don't you think?
I made everything on it. Burgers, chicken,
spaghetti, soup.
Serious, anything that could fit on that thing and not fall out, I was making it on there.
She was making it on there.
Right?
And mark down that time. She was making it on there. All right. We're going to break. Celebrity products is what we're talking about. All right. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And it's Tall Tuesday, although that was not tall. But we're not going to not every bump is going to be tall this morning, but it is Tall Tuesday. Hey, by the way, you know who says, you know when I always say Tuesday or Wednesday? And the reason I say that is because it's a tribute to my dean of students when I went to high school. Because he used to say, it's Tuesday! That's how he talked. Esmeralda, did I ever tell you about the dean of my school? He always tried to be hip, and he would say stuff like, let me tell you something, I'm bombing. Put the word out on the streets. I'm bombing.
What does that mean?
It means he's going to come down on the delinquents at school. He's going to be bombing.
Oh, and the word on, okay, I see.
Put the word on the streets, I'm bombing. God, that's screwing up my throat. But yeah, he used to say Tuesday and Wednesday. And you know who says that now on the commercials? If you ever listen to that, I think it's eHarmony. That dude who...
The old man?
Yeah. Old man Swanson, who runs the eHarmony.
I don't think he can help it.
But he says Tuesday. Tuesday and Wednesday.
Right. I'm going to assume it's like, what's his name with the mustache and the diabetes? What's his name?
Wilford Brimley.
Yeah, Wilford Brimley. It's like, they can't help it. Diabetes. Tuesday.
I love the fact that Wilford Brimley is, what's his name, with the mustache and the diabetes.
But you got it, didn't you?
Yes, I did. But, you know, he's actually a really good actor. And he's been in a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, well, now we just know him as the diabetes guy. So,
it's the guy with the mustache and the diabetes. But what's funny about that is like, that's the only guy on the planet who's got a mustache and diabetes.
But it's specifically diabetes.
Diabetes.
Because he's the only one I've ever heard say it that way.
Diabetes. Did you watch Craig when he was on in the Late Late Show? Were you Craig Ferguson?
Yeah, I would watch it.
All right. Because they have a bit. Dan, maybe you can find this bit that they did. It was him and, you know, Jeff, my favorite, Jeff Peterson, the gay skeleton robot. They were telling Craig told this story about how he was at a salad bar at a grocery store, and he saw Wilford Brimley, and his wife took a picture of him, like snuck a picture of him. There's that story, and there's also one where Jeffrey Peterson does a Wilford Brimley imitation and says, "If you don't have diabetes, I'm going to kick your ass." Diabetes. No, but he's in the thing, man. Come on. Wilford Brimley's in Cocoon. And that, by the way, is how Don Ameche pronounces Cocoon. When he won the Academy Award, I'll never forget this, when he won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor, Don Ameche goes up to give his acceptance speech, and he says, "I would like to thank everyone involved in the production of Cocoon." Like, what? What the hell movie is that? I saw a movie called Cocoon. I don't know what the hell Cocoon is. Okay, I got to take a break. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We got the news and then more celebrity products on WGN.
In the shuffling madness of a locomotive breath, runs the all-time loser headlong to his death. Oh, it feels the business scraping.
Jam. Yeah, man. Tall Tuesday. Jethro Tull rules. Hey, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Jethro Tull rules, man. You know, one time I saw Jethro Tull, 1976, I want to say. at the Chicago Stadium. And they're jamming. Like I said, I've seen them about 15 times. Fantastic every time I've seen them. So they're jamming. And I don't understand the logic of this, but some jackass whipped a bottle on stage and almost hit Ian Anderson in the face. And he stopped. They stopped the show, obviously. And Ian Anderson, I can't say on the air what he said, but he said, "We're not going to play until that blank gets kicked out of here." And so this being the 70s, the spotlight guy shines a spotlight on the guy in the balcony. And he was like, obviously, it was the 70s, so he was either drunk or high or on acid or a combination of all three, it being the 70s. And he was like flipping off everybody, but he was in the spotlight. But 30 seconds, not even 30 seconds, 10 seconds after they put the spotlight on this guy, 45 people run up to him and just start beating the crap out of him. Just start wailing on him. The crowd goes nuts. They all start cheering as as this large group of individuals are just beating the hell out of this guy. And then they end up like busting him, smashing him apart, and then throwing him out the exit. And everybody goes nuts, and then Tull starts again. They start playing again, like everything is fine. But I don't understand why are you there? If you want to throw a bottle at Ian Anderson, why are you there? Why would you pay your $6.50, which was, I believe, the price of the ticket then? So, we are talking about celebrity products. We talked about the George Foreman grill, Patti LaBelle's pies. How about Beats by Dre? These are huge. The headphones. I know Cochran has Beats by Dre headphones. Very successful. Entrepreneur, the Dre, Dr. Dre.
Made him the first millionaire or something like that, right?
I think so.
Hip-hop or...
Yeah, I think so.
Good for him.
Yeah. Well, he needs the money. So there's that. And Wilford Brimley. Now, does Wilford Brimley have a trademark on diabetes?
He should if he doesn't.
Dan, did you find the bit I was talking about where Craig Ferguson, back on his, because Craig Ferguson was the greatest late night show host ever, and he was telling a story on the show where he saw Wilford Brimley. Well, it's funnier if you just hear it. And
Wait, you have to hear this. I'm sorry to interrupt a really great story, but I was in the grocery store the other day. You know who I saw at the salad bar? Winfred Brimley! The salad bar. Wilfred Brimley. Cocoon. At the salad bar. Helping himself to salad. I thought, doesn't he have diabetes?
Did he yell at you about diabetes? Like he does in those commercials? I want you to pick up the phone right now. Or I'll kill you.
Go over and say, good for you, Wilfred Brimley, you're getting salad because you've got diabetes.
Hey, why the hell are you staring at me while I'm at the salad bar?
You know the worst thing was? My wife took a photograph on her iPhone. She's like, Wilfred Brimley. She's like, ah.
I'm a decent man. I'm trying to eat a salad here. Snapping your damn photos. I got diabetes.
Anyway, look, if you have got diabetes, salad's the way to go, I think. I just want to...
If you have diabetes, Wilfred Brimley's going to kick your ass.
That's the best, man. I miss that show. Oh, that just makes me sad. It makes me sad that that's not on every night. Oh, my God, that was the best show ever. Oh. Well, hey, you know, Craig's coming back. Craigie's coming back. He's got a show called Join or Die. Debuts on the History Channel on February 18th. I can't wait. I've been watching all the little teasers and the previews and stuff for it. Esmeralda, you don't have the cables.
I don't.
I'm guessing you can probably get it online somewhere, the History Channel or something.
I can probably find it.
Yeah. Join or Die, and it debuts February 18th. I can't even explain to you how excited I am about the prospect of having Craig Ferguson on a talk show. Now, the game show's fun. You know, the celebrity name game, that's fine, but it's not really Craigie's show. It's not, you know. Oh, that was so funny. If you have diabetes, he's going to kick your ass. Josh Robert Thompson's been on this show 3 times. He's phenomenal. He's great. He supplied the voice and he operated Jeffrey Peterson, the gay robot skeleton sidekick. He will not be a part of Join or Die, however. So, all right, we're talking about celebrity products. And here is Biker Don. Hey, Don.
Hey, good morning, Nick. How's it going, buddy?
All right.
The one that comes to mind immediately was Newman's Own Dressing. You know, Paul Newman's brand of salad dressings.
Yeah, well, he expanded into all kinds of products. I think it started with salad dressing.
I went from salad dressing, if I remember the progression right, it went from salad dressing to popcorn and then on to a bunch of other stuff. But in addition to all of that, he's also half owner of Newman Haas Racing.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing about Paul Newman was that, you know, he didn't see a dime of that. He did not see one dime of that. Every single penny that was made on Newman's Own went to charities. Every single penny.
Yep.
All right, Don, thanks, man.
Have a good one,
Take care. Yeah, the spaghetti sauce, too, I think was second. So I think it went salad dressing and then spaghetti sauce and popcorn and then, like, everything. You can get Newman's Own. I mean, still to this day, you can get Newman's Own brand of everything. And again, not a dime. It all goes to charity. What an unbelievable guy Paul Newman was. Not just an extraordinary actor and a great director and an enormously talented human being, but my God, what a dude. One of the coolest guys that ever lived, Paul Newman. Something's going crazy with the clock. The clock, either I just dropped acid or something's happening with the clock in here. It just went nuts. Felt like I was in a Pink Floyd video there for a second. I don't know what's going on. Is it because we're playing Tull? Is that what's happening? Have we messed with the fractions of time by playing Jethro Tull? All right. Here's a good one. 773 area code. What about Chuck Norris's Total Gym? Yeah. Yeah, he made a lot. And who was the other celebrity? Was it Christie Brinkley that was on there with him?
Yes.
Yeah. Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris is 104 years old. I don't know if you knew that or not. Remember when he sued those guys for doing that Chuck Norris book thing, the website?
They single-handedly brought him back. I don't know what he's angry about.
Well, you know, at first, he was fine with it. Chuck Norris was fine with it. And then I guess because they started making a bunch of money and it became very popular, then Chuck Norris went, I don't like it. And gave him like a cease and desist or something. But he's 104. Yeah, Chuck Norris. Actually, I think he might be as old as that guy in Japan who just died.
He was 112.
That's what I'm saying. I think Chuck Norris is close to that. He looks great. You know why? Because of the Total Gym. You get that Total Gym, you can live to be 312. Wilford Brimley's got it. Here's a terrifying fact. This is a terrifying fact. Now, as you know, last year I turned 50. All right? And people send you all kinds of stuff about things that are 50 years old and who turned 50 and all that. And, of course, you know, on the day that I turned 50, I was in the middle of, like, recovering at my parents. I was staying with my parents at the time after I got out of the hospital. And so I had a very unmemorable 50th birthday. But a lot of people sent me, like, you know, Molly Shannon videos from SNL. I'm 50. They sent me that because Molly Shannon is my favorite female cast member in the history of Saturday Night Live. And Sally O'Malley is one of my favorite characters ever. So it was really great to watch a bunch of those. But one of the things, this is an absolute fact, and Dan, I think you can probably look this up. My guess is that you can probably look it up. When Cocoon, or Cocoon, as Don Ameche would call it, when the film Cocoon, when they made Cocoon, Wilford Brimley was only 50. All right? So he was only 50. If I'm not mistaken, I think he was only 50. And you go back and you look at that, and you're like, God, how old? He was only 50 when they made Cocoon? Which makes sense, because Cocoon is like 30 years old. Cocoon is like, that movie came out in the mid 80s. I mean, it's like 30 years old, which would make Wilford Brimley 80 now, which makes sense.
Wilford Brimley was 51 when he started.
Can you even, is that, I don't know why I find that so incredibly hard to fathom. I'm going to be 51 this year. Can you, I mean, would they cast me in Cocoon? I don't think so. But I remember when I first heard that, I'm like, there's no way he was only 50 when they made that movie. And then I'm like, well, yeah, of course, because like he's 80 now, which makes sense. You always think of Wilford Brimley as an old man. I can't, like, in every movie he's in, you're like, he's got to be 90. Even in The Thing. He was in The Thing in 1982. He was in The Thing. By the way, Esmeralda, you've seen The Thing, right? John Carpenter's The Thing with Kurt Russell?
No.
I'm sorry, what?
No.
Okay, I'm screening it at my film club in March, by the way. If you see The Thing, which I recommend you do because it's one of the greatest horror films ever made, and Kurt Russell, as I mentioned before, one of the finest bearded performances of all bearded performances. Wilford Brimley's in it? No mustache. There's enough to freak you out right there. Seeing a movie with Wilford Brimley, no mustache. He still had the diabetes, but he didn't have the mustache. So, all right, we got a break. Chuck Norris's Total Gym. Yeah, we got to get one of those so we can hang our clothes on it. So, all right, we have to break. Jump up, look around, find yourself some fun. Don't stand there sitting there hating everyone. Long Island and it's capitalism home. The nest is burning up there where the bird has flown. Yeah. Tall Tuesday, man, yeah. Tall Tuesday. Oh, I love that song. It's one of my favorite Tall songs. Teacher. Dan, you have no idea. No idea what that song is.
I do not.
Esmeralda probably never.
Nope.
I'm telling you right now, there are Tall fans out there right now who are busting their heads against the dashboards, jamming. Tall Tuesday. Mike, drop off at least 1,000 pounds of the Ian Anderson salmon.
We can't eat that much.
Yes, we can.
And then it would get really smelly. Because we couldn't eat that much that quickly.
Where are we going to put it?
Well, that's what
there's
I'm
a fridge
saying.
Here. There's a fridge here that Mary cleans out every morning.
Do you imagine it would just be stuffed with salmon?
Could you imagine if we filled that refrigerator with Ian Anderson salmon and Mary Vanderbilt came in and opened the door? She would go ballistic.
She freaks out with the pizzas.
She goes nuts. I'm telling you, Mary comes in here every morning and like goes nuts because of the fridge. If we had 1,000 pounds of Ian Anderson's salmon.
You could just tell her it's from Robbie Benson.
Then she'd be like, oh, that's fine because of his eyes. you can stuff a bunch of salmon in the fridge as long as Robbie Benson's eyes are nearby. Thank you, Dan. I think, you know what, Robbie Benson, don't you think Robbie Benson should have his own line of contact lenses? Wouldn't that be the route to go?
Ice skates.
No. And basketballs. Yeah. what are some of these other celebrities? How about Trump steaks? Did you know that Donald Trump sold steaks? And I don't know if you, but it's Donald Trump, who is, you know, a genius. You idiot. So anyway, he sold steaks, Trump steaks. And they're huge. They're going to be huge. Huge steaks. Moron. But anyway, here's the genius of it. You know how he sold them? You know where he sold the Trump steaks? Do you remember this? What avenue?
No.
They were in the Sharper Image catalog.
Gross. What?
I'm not kidding.
Do they serve? Do they sell any food?
I don't know if they sell any other food. I remember that there was like somebody was making fun of Trump steaks. They said, "Yeah, you can buy them at the Sharper Image." I'm like, "Who the hell wants to buy steaks from the Sharper Image?"
I would think he was probably in Sky Mall too.
Sharper Image, and then they filed for bankruptcy in 2008. Probably because of Donald Trump, because, you know, he's only filed for bankruptcy like four times. Can't wait till he's in charge of the American economy. So, the only way that I could see that you could sell steaks at Sharper Image is if you sat on them and they vibrated. That would be the only way, because that's all. Sharper Image, they have really cool pens and chairs that vibrate. That's pretty much, isn't that what all the Sharper Image
is? Pretty much. Everything vibrates.
And putting machines. You could putt in your office.
And almost life-sized robots.
Right. But not steaks. When I think of a good steak, I was thinking about going to Ruth's Chris, but I'm going to go to Sharper Image for a steak. Because that's the first place I think of. When I want a good steak, I go to Sharper Image. Because I can sit on it and it vibrates. That's it. The Sharper Image they filed for bankruptcy. What was the other play? Brookstone, right? Was the other one? Brookstone.
That's, yeah, like rich people.
Like
gadgets
and stuff. Yeah, that's like Sharper Image. Sharper Image is like, it's only like, Sharper Image and Brookstone are like three steps up from, what the hell is the name of that place that's in malls where you can, they broke in on the dummies on
Spencer's?
Friday. Spencer's. It's like two steps up from Spencer's.
They don't sell any pipes or anything.
No, but they sell stuff that vibrates.
or black light posters.
Yeah, man. It's like, seriously, like Sharper Image, it's like, Sharper Image, they file for bankruptcy. Just go to Spencer's and sell your steaks now at Spencer's. I'm going to Spencer's to sell my steaks. It's going to be huge. Idiot. How about Suzanne Summers' Thigh Master? 708 area code says, who didn't have one of those? I didn't have one of those.
I'm curious if it worked.
The Thighmaster?
Right.
Well, if Suzanne Summers is any proof, it does.
Yeah, but you know she wasn't using that. She probably maybe was sometimes, but that's not what made her look like how she looks.
Yeah.
We got one as a gag gift for Christmas, and like it took some force to move. So, I mean.
Do you hang clothes on it?
No, because it's just...
I know, but like any exercise, I just always think of any exercise equipment that people buy, inevitably it just becomes a place where you hang your coat. That's... Yeah, I'm gonna be working out. I got an exercise bike. 2 months later, you got like clothes on it. And...
The thing kind of is in the shape of a clothes
hook?
Hanger.
Yeah, it is like a hook, isn't it? Yeah. You could hang two coats.
Tie.
You could hang
your
two
bow tie
your bow. Yeah, because you have so many bow ties, Dan.
I'm just saying it looks like a bow tie.
I'm just picturing Dan has a massive collection of bow ties at home.
Yeah, and he has nowhere to hang them, and now he does.
Now he does. How come you never wear those on Friday, man? Fly Jay and Fry, I think you're going to have to start.
Hide the tuft.
How big of... What do you got, bozo ties?
Well, I can't... in theory, you could wear the bow tie and then just leave the rest of the shirt unbuttoned.
Then you would be... You could get a job at Chippendales. At that point, man,
closer to Chris Farley than I am Patrick Swayze.
Here's Carrie on WGN. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, Nick. Good morning. First of all, Dan's right. The folklore is that Walt Disney is frozen someplace at Disneyland. That is true.
Yeah,
it's not true, but the folklore is true.
I know. I remember that story. Yeah.
Yeah. The weirdest one I ever saw was Kiss marketed a casket.
Oh, that's right.
I want to say the early mid '90s.
Yep.
And the weird thing was, it's a real casket, and you could be buried in it, but it also doubled as a beer cooler before you died. There was like it was weird. It was like an insert, and you could make, until you died, it was a beer cooler, and then when you died, it was a casket. But it was a real casket. I want to say it was like crazy. It was like $6,000.
Oh, yeah, no, and you could get it, if I'm not mistaken, you could get it at Costco. If I'm not mistaken,
oh, yeah,
you could get it at Costco, the Kiss casket.
Right.
Oh, man. All right, Carrie, thanks, man. Take care, buddy. All right, we're talking about celebrity products. 312-981-7200. News is next.
Skating away.
Yeah, man.
So as you push up from the shore,
Nick DiGilio on Toll Tuesday, man. Yeah, Toll Tuesday. I'm assuming that this is Dan and Esmeralda's first exposure to many of these songs. I think all of them, right? Dan, I mean,
I only know
you know Aqualung.
Sitting, yeah.
Sitting on, you know the song Sitting on a Park Bench. Yeah. Snot is running down his nose. It's Toll Tuesday, and Mike is getting closer and closer to delivering the 10,000 pounds of Ian Anderson salmon.
We're going to be eating a lot of salmon in the next couple of weeks. It won't go bad, right? Because it's smoked.
I don't know if it's smoked. I don't think Ian Anderson smokes his salmon. I think it's, he smokes other things. Wait a minute, hold it now. What the hell am I talking?
Right.
Yeah. All right, how about this one? 847 area code. We're talking about celebrity products. 312-981-7200. How about this one? My dog has three cool sweaters from the Brett Michaels Pet Apparel Collection. What? The label features Brett's signature, and underneath it, it says, Pets Rock. Brett Michaels has a pet apparel collection?
I believe he's exclusive to PetSmart. That's not a joke. I believe.
Are you serious?
PetSmart.
Why? What? Am I missing something? Is Brett Michaels...
There is a great picture of him just next to his. He's a German Shepherd.
Yeah,
and he's got on his bandana. He's doing the rock symbol.
Of course he is. Right, he's doing. Is he doing devil horns?
Yeah,
yeah.
Just and the dog's like, I'm a dog.
What's the dog wearing?
A bandana.
No, come on. And so it's bandanas for dogs?
He's got. Well, they also have his sweaters and collars.
Oh, okay, I was going to say bandanas for dogs.
Oh my gosh! One of these dogs is wearing a bandana like on its head.
You know, so that means like him, dog is balding.
Oh my gosh, it's on its head, not around its neck.
Because he's balding. The poor dog is balding. I didn't realize. Am I missing something, Dan? Has Brett Michaels been known to be a pet aficionado?
I think it was a spinoff of Rock of Love. Like there was an episode where they showed how much he loves dogs and. That's the story I'd heard. That
also, if you look on the website and you scroll down, there's a white dog wearing a sweater. He looks so sad; like he just looks really depressed.
Well, I always
about wearing
think,
that sweater.
I always think that when you put, especially cats, if you put them in a costume of some kind, they're not happy about it. Like maybe dogs, if it's cold out, like it is right now, and you got a dog that doesn't have a lot of fur, put a little sweater on them. Yeah, that's cool. Dogs don't want hats on. Neither do cats. You ever see pictures of people like, oh, I got my cat. Hey, put a Halloween costume on my cat. He doesn't want the damn thing on him.
I also will say some of this stuff is not very rock and roll.
Really?
Specifically the toys, the dog toys.
Yeah.
He's got a Priscilla the Porcupine. And it's just a cartoon porcupine wearing a scarf.
It's probably the name of a groupie that he had sex with.
Funky Fox.
Yeah.
That's another one. They're just kind of lame looking. And Bucky the Beaver.
Well.
He's wearing little ear warmers.
Okay.
It's cute, but I wouldn't think it's Brett Michaels.
You wouldn't think of Brett Michaels.
Not at all.
Okay. I was not aware that Brett Michaels was a pet guy. I just wasn't. Did you ever watch Rock of Love, Esmeralda? Did you watch
it?
I used to watch it. I watched like every season of it. When it was Whores on a Bus or whatever they called it, Hookers on Wheels or whatever the hell it was called. That show was ridiculous. Did you watch the Flavor Flav one?
Oh, of course.
Oh, my God.
I love watching all that stuff. The Housewives.
Do you watch Mob Wives?
I did when I had cable.
You had cable. Mob
when I had cable, I watched all of that
it's
stuff.
It's in the final season. Mob Wives is in its final season now.
I love that lady.
Which one?
The one who owns the bar. She's got that voice.
Ange. That. Big Ange.
There you go. Big Ange.
Yeah. I like Dorita. Dorita's my favorite.
She will kill you.
That's why I like her.
She will murder you. Anything happens.
I like Dorita, man.
You wrong her slightly. She chops off a finger.
That's cool, man. I like her. I like her. The Flavor, I remember watching the Flavor Flav of Love, Flav. And then remember New York got her own show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That I can't. I don't watch the Housewives though. My mom does. My mom enjoys the Housewives. I can't watch the Beverly Hills one because I used to have a huge crush on Kim Richards. When I was growing up, I had a huge crush on her. She was one of my childhood crushes because she was in the Escape Witch Mountain movies. She was in Hello Larry. She was in Tough Turf, T-U-F-F, Tough Turf with James Spader. We've talked about Tough Turf. Remember talking about Tough Turf? Because James Spader actually sings a song, well, he lip syncs a song called, Dan, can you look it up? It's called I Walk the Night. I remember when we saw this movie, we saw it at the drive-in, my friends and I, Oaken, busting chairs before that concert. We saw it, and I Walk the Night became like our favorite song ever. Like James Spader plays it at a party in the movie, because James Spader's like the new kid in town, and all the punks like try to beat him up because it's a Tough Turf.
And what better way to get people to befriend you by singing a song?
Oh, and it's a ballad, too. But he sings it, and that's the scene where Kim... Here we go. Here.
Well, my darling, would you care to dance?
Fighting the darkness that breaks our hearts, we hold each other tight.
Picture James Spader lip-syncing this.
How did someone not just punch him in the mouth like 5 seconds after the song
Wait, what's
starts?
Going on in the video there, Dan, that you're laughing?
No, it's just Esmeralda.
Oh, yeah, I don't know because he's winning over the chicks. Yeah, man. I walk the night.
Said chick, by the way, is wearing the feather earring where it's the one feather.
That's Kim Richards, man. It's Kim Richards.
And a separate dangling earring on the other ear.
Oh, yeah. And her hair is like 8 feet long, and it's crimped.
And a short headband.
Yep. Oh, it's so great. Tough
and
turf.
An oversized white sweater.
Tough turf,
is
baby.
Is it off the shoulder?
I don't know. We're on Robert Downey Jr. macking on some chick right now.
Hang on. Robert Downey Jr.'s in that movie, too, by the way. Tough turf. T-U-F-F. Tough turf. What were we talking about yesterday, Esmeralda? We were talking about movies that are so awful, they're great.
Yeah, put this on the list.
Tough turf. Put it on the list. I mean, if for that scene alone. Spader singing I Walk the Night and Robert Downey Jr. in 80s apparel making out with some chick and Kim Richards with 8 foot long crimped hair. How can you not want to watch that?
Not off the shoulder, but getting close.
Anyway, I used to have a crush on Kim Richards and Kyle Richards too, because she's in Halloween. Kyle Richards, and she's the girl that Jamie Lee Curtis babysits for. And that's her sister. And they're both nuts now. And I can't. I watched like 5 minutes of that show and I see Kim Richards is insane. And I'm like, wait a minute. She was in the Witch Mountain movie. She can't be crazy. She can't be a crazy crazy lady with like Botox and bad plastic surgery. You know, on meds. I don't want that to. I don't want to remember Kim Richards that way. I want to remember her walking the night with James Spader. That's how I want to remember her. James Spader, man. That movie is spectacular. Oh, my God. That was like right before James Spader took off. You know, and like the John Hughes movies and all that stuff. That was like, and Robert Downey's in it, too. It was like right before those guys really took off. That was the beauty of the last Avengers movie. It was they were reunited from Tough Turf. Iron Man was walking the night.
Ultron
Ultron
walks up to the piano. Iron Man in suit.
puts
his arm down.
Walks up to the piano. I walk the night. Then he blows up the piano. Iron Man's making out with Black Widow. I walk the night. All right. See, that would have made Age of Ultron a better movie. Well, boy, that was a disappointing movie. Jeez. You make a movie, you know what? Here's a little hint. If you're going to do a movie and you need to make it better, make it more like Tough Turf. Add the song I Walk the Night and you'll be, it's guaranteed Oscars. All right. We have to break. Hang on, everybody. We'll get back to the products that that are made by celebrities. Well, not made by celebrities, but they put their name on them. Remember Ron Santo's Pizza? Ron Santo's Pizza. You only get it. I think you could only get it at Wrigley Field, if I remember correctly. I used to get it every time I went to Wrigley Field. I would get Ron Santo's Pizza. He was a much better ball player than a pizza maker. I can tell you that. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Yeah. Now, you don't know Bungle in the Jungle, Dan?
Did we talk about this for some reason like months ago? I recognize the name.
Bungle in the Jungle?
Bungle in the Jungle.
Maybe. It was, it charted. Esmeralda, do you know Bungle in the Jungle by the Tall?
Nope.
Maybe it was for exceptional lyrics like, I'm a tiger when I want love, but I'm a snake if we disagree.
Genius. Ian Anderson, poet.
Seems very violent.
It's a jungle. Skating away on the thin ice of a new day is a lovely song. We heard that before. Lovely. Thick as a brick, it's about being dumb. It's an entire concept album about being dumb. All right. Celebrity stuff. How about Sammy Hagar's Cabo Wabo? He has a whole new career now. He's behind a chain of Cabo Wabo cantinas. Doesn't he also have a brand of tequila, Sammy Hagar?
Yes.
Is it called Cabo Wabo?
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Sammy Hagar.
Yes, Cabo Wabo Tequila.
It's the name of the tequila. Okay. Tequila. We don't hear from Sammy Hagar very often anymore.
He's busy in Cabo Wabo.
Yeah, he doesn't do the show now that we don't have an Outside the Loop radio preview every week.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Get the Outside the Loop radio guys in here more.
Yeah.
And we might hear from Sammy Hagar. Because, you know, that was brilliant radio. Every time... We've marked the tapes of every appearance of Sammy Hagar when he would call into the show. Dumont's got, that's what the wing is for.
Right.
The entire wing at the museum is for all the Sammy Hagar appearances on this show.
I was off for the birth of my daughter, but when...
Oh.
Did Sammy Hagar make an appearance?
Sammy Hagar
on
did, yeah.
30th
he did.
Anniversary.
Yeah,
how dare you?
I know.
I should
have skipped that.
Yeah.
Come to the station.
You know what, though? It was lovely, though, because, Esmeralda, we were celebrating my 30th anniversary last year. And it was right. Dan was – it occurred. It's the last week of May, the last weekend in May, like the 30th or whatever. It marks my 30th anniversary here on WGN. And this will be 31 years in May. And so – but Emily actually made her first appearance on the radio on the show. Dan called in, and it was lovely. It made me cry. It was lovely. She was very talkative. That she making a lot of noise.
I caught her right before she was. It was time to eat. So
yeah, it was good, man.
She let you know
it was good. All right, Bungle in the Jungle. How about Elizabeth Taylor's White Diamonds perfume? You know they still run those commercials. Elizabeth Taylor's been dead for like 10 years, and they still run those commercials.
These have always brought me luck, right? Is that that one?
Yes. That's.
And then she goes back on her plane. And I think my mom had still, she probably still has some of that white diamonds.
That was a really good. I closed my eye. I actually thought Elizabeth Taylor was in the newsroom.
I know, right?
It was stunning. You're like the female Rich Little. All right, let's go to the phones here. Here's Harold on WGN. Hey, Harold.
Hey, what's going on, Nick?
Hey.
You know, the thing about the George Foreman grill is...
what the heck?
Hold on a second. There was this alarm going off to let my girlfriend know to get up for work.
Get up at 4:25. Good Lord, she has to get up early.
Well,
all
yeah,
right.
That's
what,
the way it is.
All right. Well, what are you saying now?
There was a couple of things. I was going to say one thing, but real quick, I get to the George Foreman thing. They just talked about him on Modern Marvels like a day or two ago, and because they were talking about 70s tech, I think, or 80s. No, was it 90s tech or whatever?
90s, so yeah.
They had a series of them. They had 70s, 80s, 90s. And they got to that one, and they were talking about the George Foreman grill, and they said what it was some guy developed it, and he came up with it, and he just couldn't get a start selling it. This guy does this for a living, I guess he has these things, but he couldn't sell this grill, and somehow George Foreman saw it somewhere, and said he talked to the guy. Next thing you know, he bought the rights to it,
right?
And he said, I sat there for like 3 months, just look at it every day. And then he went back and needed somebody to market. He says, I'm going to sell this thing, but I need somebody to market. So he went back to the same guy, and the guy marketed it for him, and it became it.
Yeah.
Using his name. And so, you know, the guy couldn't find a way to sell it, and he sold it to George Foreman and then started selling it.
Yeah.
So, and the guy's like, the guy says, it came right back to me, and I was making money.
Yeah.
But you talk about Wilford Brimley. Every time something happens to a celebrity or something like that, you know, you look it up. I look him up on IMDb, and I'm like, oh, I can't believe that guy died. You know, he seemed young, and I look up the ages, and somehow, you know, I'll pull up names and I'll pull up, you know, different people. I think when Newman died, I looked up to see how old he was, and then I looked up, well, how old was Redford? Because they played in a couple movies together.
Right.
And then I it comes up to the natural, and I started looking through there. Robert Redford was born in 36.
Yeah.
Wilford Brimley was born in 34.
Right.
And they called him Pops.
I know.
In fact, everybody except for about six people, which are the two main ladies that were in the movie.
Yeah.
And Michael Madsen and I think maybe one or two other people was either Robert Redford's age or maybe two or three years. Robert Prosky?
Prosky was in it, yes.
He was only born in, I think, 31 or 30. So he's only like 6 years older than Redford. He's playing this old commodore.
I know. Well, yeah. I mean, but there are guys, though, that have been kind of born to play old guys. Wilford Brimley was one of those guys, still one of those guys. All right, we got to run. Thank you, Harold. Martin from Bolingbrook says, Dennis Savard had mini frozen pizza. I saw him at the Jewel. Yes, he does. How about
Roger eats them.
Roger,
every Sunday.
Roger eats Dennis Savard's pizza?
Yeah, he brings them in and he eats them. Because he's always like, gonna go make my pizza.
So is it called Savvy's?
Yes.
All right. Have you ever had Chelios chili?
No.
Chris Chelios has chili. Mostly in the Detroit area. But they have it here. I can tell you the one place that used to have it. I don't know if they still have it. But there's the Char Land or Charcoal Land or it's at Foster in California, right across from McDonald's on the corner of Foster in California.
Oh, it's one of those like grill places where you can
get a
hero.
You get a hot dog, hero, you know,
right.
All that stuff. And they've got Chelios's chili.
Is that any good?
Yeah, it's real good.
Ooh.
Yeah,
they
make their chili. Yep, they make chili dogs with it and stuff. They use chili. It's Chelios's chili. And I don't. What's Charland? Or Char?
It's not Charland.
It's Char Village, I think, is what it's called. It's at Foster in California, right across from the McDonald's and the CTA like terminal. There's like a CTA terminal right there. And this North Park College is right there. And then there's this place, Char Town. Is it called Char Town? Is that what it's called? See, Dan's trying to look it up, but
I know your description is so good that Google is just. It's well,
can you Google Maps Foster in California and see what's on the what's there? Because that's where it's located, Foster in California. Char Block.
Sorry, folks, you're just going to have to wait until after the news to find out.
Okay, but they sell Chelios' chili there. Because that's what we're talking about, celebrity products. All right, we're going to take a break on WGN. Sorry, Foster, California, Swedish Covenant Hospital.
Oh, no. It's Charcoal Delights.
Oh, that's it.
It's Foster and Kedzie.
Kedzie. Okay, Kedzie. Sorry. Foster and Kedzie. What's it called?
Charcoal Delights.
And that's exactly what it is. It's a delight.
Char Town.
Char Village. Char Town.
You should open a place across the street called Char Village.
Well, anyway, that's where they have Chelios' chili. And if you don't like the chili, if it doesn't agree with you, just a few blocks away, so we just covered a hospital. So, it's a good hospital. That was the last place I stayed when I went to a hospital. So there you go. Oh, man.
Let me bring you songs from the woods to make you feel much better than you could know. Better than you could
dust you down from tip to toe.
Dust you down from tip to toe.
Show you how the garden
tall, baby.
Grows.
Show you how the garden grows.
Hold you steady as
tall Tuesday.
You go.
Yeah.
Hold steady as you join the chorus if you can.
Don't you immediately feel like playing Dungeons and Dragons?
You an honest man. Let me bring you love.
This song does jam at some point.
Poppies, red and roses.
See? Jamming right there, man. Tull. Yeah. This is from the album Songs from the Wood. See, Dan? That's what the album's called, too. I saw him on this tour for the Songs from the Wood tour. It was lovely. I'm not winning you over this morning with the tall, am I?
Lovely's one word for it.
All right. Let's see. Carl says, Nick, I'm sure you'll want to be purchasing the... Oh, you got to be kidding me. Is this real? Carl says, Nick, I'm sure you'll want to be purchasing the Jon Bon Jovi line of sunglasses. Available for only $309. So you can get Bon Jovi sunglasses for $309? Why? Okay. Okay. How about 815 area code Jack LaLanne's juice? Did he? No, his juicer.
I believe it was a juice.
It just says juice here. Dan.
All right, Burgundy. Sorry about that.
That's right, Ron Burgundy, man. Put it in front of me and I'm going to read it. Ron, Jack LaLanne's juicer. I actually wish it was Jack LaLanne's juice. That would be a good seller, don't you think? All right, here's Steve, the limo driver. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Nick.
Morning.
How are you?
All right.
I don't know about you, but I got a heartache tonight.
Okay. Yes, Glenn Frey passed away, 67 years old.
Yeah, he's already gone.
Okay. All right.
Now I got a peaceful, easy feeling that everything's going to be okay.
Okay. All right. That's enough with the Eagles puns for the morning, Steve.
All right. How about Marshall Brodeen's magic deck of cards?
Yeah, the magic cards, the Marshall Brodeen magic cards. I had them.
And he wasn't that famous, but he was on Bozo, too. He's Wizzo.
Right? He's Wizzo, man. He's famous. He's Marshall Brodeen, man.
Yeah, I know. You talked about that last year, I remember. One thing I wanted to comment on, the Johnny Carson shows that came back on MeTV.
I watch them every, in about 2 hours. I will be watching another Johnny Carson episode from last night.
Oh, you DVR? I don't have DVR.
DVR it. I watch it every morning when I get home.
When they announced that it was going to be at 10 o'clock every night, I was all bummed out because, you know, I don't wake up till about midnight usually. But they rerun them, which they don't advertise. They rerun them at 1 in the morning, which
oh.
is perfect for me.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's good to know. Let people know. It's on Antenna TV, 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock. And then on the weekends, it's on at 9. I don't know if they repeat them on the weekends, but on the weekends, they do the 90-minute episodes at 9 o'clock. They do the full 90-minute episodes. And then on the weeknights, it's the 60-minute episode. So it starts at 9 on weeknights. No, I'm sorry, 10 on weeknights, 9 on weekends. Johnny Carson. They had Don Rickles on the other morning and Lou Brock. It was spectacular. Spectacular. Don Rickles said stuff to Lou Brock that you could not get away with now. All right, Steve, thanks for the call. Did you know that John Bon Jovi is selling sunglasses for $309?
What? Yeah. $309?
$309 for John Bon Jovi sunglasses.
Yikes.
A lot of
I
money.
Want one of those Jack LaLanne Juice Man, though. Juice Men?
The Juicer.
The Juice Man?
Juice Man?
I think it's a Juice Man.
Is it called a Juice Man? I remember the Jack LaLanne, you know, Juicer was one of the first juicers out there because now everybody's right. got them, you know?
I want one.
But like LaLanne was the first. What's going on, Dan? Are you just
this just in from the 773?
Yeah.
Jack LaLanne's juice only available at Chartown.
Oh, so it'll be at your restaurant.
At Foster in California. It's Foster and Kenzie.
It's a pop-up restaurant that Nick's opening.
Chartown.
Chartown. I thought it was like Char Village.
I like Char Village.
Char Village. Char House. Char Hut.
No, I like Char Village. It denotes a sense of...
It's an entire village.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they play Songs from the Wood, because that sounds like something that you would hear in a village. Songs from the Wood. All right. How about this one? I'm a wrestling fan, okay? As I've mentioned many, many times. I love pro wrestling. All right? I have my whole life. Why do I not know about Hulk Hogan's Pasta Mania?
Because it probably doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, but I should have known about it. I've been a wrestling fan my whole life. I should have at least heard of it.
I'm gonna say it was not sold in
stores. Here's why. Hulk Hogan's fast food restaurant, Pasta Mania, opened in 1995 at the Mall of America in Minnesota.
Wait, he opened a restaurant that was just pasta?
I don't know. When did I go to the Mall of America? I went to the Mall of America.
And you missed Hulk Hogan's Pasta Mania?
Hold on a minute. I went in 95.
Maybe because that's just when it closed.
That's when 7 came out. Right, Dan? 7 was in 1995. I think if you look that up, it's 1995. 7 was 1995.
It was.
Okay, so that's when I went. My first ex-wife's brother lived out in Minnesota, so we went up to visit him. And we stopped in the Mall of America, and I started freaking out. I started to, like, hyperventilate. I started to have an anxiety attack because I hate malls. I hate malls.
Right. So you probably, you didn't go through the whole mall.
No, it seemed like we, well, I guess we didn't because it's like 26 miles, right?
You missed the Hulkamania.
How did I miss Pastamania? I would have stayed there longer had I known there was a Pastamania.
You thought they would have taken you over there to calm down.
Yeah, well, we ended up going to, because I was a smoker at that time, and I was like, I got to get the hell out of here. And we ended up sitting at the bar at Planet Hollywood.
Oh.
You know, we went to go see 7, which is, let me explain something to you. First of all, 7 is a, you know, magnificent movie. I love it. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. But it's a very deeply disturbing and screwed up film. And the Mall of America is a real weird, just a weird place in general. To see 7 in the theater at the Mall of America, that's too much. It's just too much.
Well, I think your frown would have been turned upside down.
Had I gone to Pasta Mania.
I wonder if he had any shaped Hulk Hogan shaped pasta.
Yeah. I think he sold Jack LaLanne's juice there too.
And then all the waiters have to wear Hulk shirts
and then tear them open when you make your order. They have to rip the shirt apart. They go through 55 shirts a shift.
Nicely done. Wow, that was dangerous territory right there. You got through that no problem.
How about that, man?
Nice job.
I'm a professional. Hulk Hogan tried to boost the restaurant with zealous promotional efforts, but critics said his efforts came across as silly and strange. Oh, really? Hulk Hogan's ideas were silly and strange for a pasta restaurant?
But he's the Hulk.
It was struck as just an ego move. What's more, the connection between pro wrestling and pasta isn't very strong. It shut down in less than a year after it opened. Well, maybe it was shut down by the time I got there, because that was like November. Because 7 came out in November. 7 was like a late release. So it was in November. Maybe it had already shut down. Poor Pasta Mania. I would have gone to Pasta Mania. Have you ever been to the Mall of America?
No.
It's terrifying. There's a damn amusement park in the middle of the place.
I'd probably love it.
It's terrifying.
I love malls.
Oh. I honest to God, we were in there, and I was like, I think I got to get out of here. I really do. I was like, I can't take this anymore. This is just too much. I hate malls and all that crap. And this is just, I was like, I can't. I felt like I was on Mars or something. Like, what the hell is happening here? There's a giant Snoopy roller coaster right next to an Orange Julius. I got to get out of here.
See, I grew up in malls pretty much, you know, because I was born in the suburbs. So going to the mall is what you do.
Yeah, well, no. All right, well, Jack LaLanne's juice. That's what we've come away with here. Jack LaLanne's juice and Ian Anderson's meat sticks. Those are the new items that I think we're going to be talking about in the future. And they're going to be served at the Char Village.
Yes.